everyone else can go. We've counted you. So this was the way this newly established Nazi regime proceeded. Even so, when the votes were counted in the aftermath of the March 5th election, the Nazis had not achieved a majority. They had received 44% of the vote, and only in combination with their conservative coalition partners could they claim a majority mandate to rule. In the aftermath of this, quote, great electoral victory, close quote, the Nazis held a special swearing-in ceremony for Hitler at the tomb of Frederick the Great in Potsdam. This came to be known as the Day of Potsdam on March 21st, 1933. Hitler appeared wearing a top hat and tails, not his usual brown stormtrooper uniform. It was an orchestrated event. He invited to the swearing-in of a Reich Chancellor now, the entire general staff of the German army. Reich President Hindenburg showed up for the event wearing his World War I uniform, complete with the Pickelhaube, that pointed German helmet from the early days of the war. And in his, the whole event was staged so that Hitler could show his support for, his respect for the old conservative Prussian traditions. Hitler was not a conservative. He understood that. Conservatives in Germany were ambivalent about Hitler. He was seen as too radical, too tacky, not a respectable political figure, and not a conservative. Not, certainly not a monarchist. Hitler would, during the, and there's a very famous photograph made on this day of Potsdam where Hitler and Hindenburg shake hands. You may recall from our last lecture that Hindenburg despised Hitler for making him run in the elections for president re-election when the Reichstag was ready to have Hindenburg simply anointed Reich president for another term in early 32. There's a very famous photograph on this day of Potsdam where Hindenburg, this massive, enormous man with his World War I uniform, a chest full of medals that reached down to his waist, standing very erect. And there's Hitler wearing his morning coat. His top hat is taken off. But Hitler is bowing at the waist, shaking hands with Hindenburg. In Germany, this is a sign of deep respect, something that one does for one's elders. This was an attempt to mend fences with the conservatives, who Hitler believed were going to be necessary in order to proceed in this new government. Hitler announced on this day of Potsdam a new legislative initiative. On March 23rd, 2 days after this, he was going to introduce into the Reichstag a new law called the Enabling Law, which would, in effect, give the regime emergency powers for a period of 5 years. Full power. Hitler argued, you know, the people have spoken. They voted for the government of national concentration. Now we need to act and act forthrightly. There's a state of emergency in Germany. We teeter on the brink of civil war. The economy is in tatters. This calls for dramatic action. And unlike the weak, vacillating governments of the discredited democratic Weimar state, we know what we want to do. We're prepared to act. But we want to act legally. We want to act within the confines of the law. Throughout this period, this crucial period, the first 6 months of Nazi rule in Germany, they were extremely careful to cloak their actions, no matter how extraordinary, under the mantle of legality. This is why it's necessary to have the emergency decrees, to have a legally binding basis for their actions. The Enabling Law passed the Reichstag on March 23rd, 1933. The building was now the Kroll Opera House, since the Reichstag building was still smoldering. The Enabling Act passed with only the Social Democratic Party voting against it. The communists had been banned after the Reichstag fire, and the regime cordoned off the building with stormtroopers so that there's a real sense of coercion about those deputies inside to vote for the Enabling Law. The Reichstag fire decrees then and the Enabling Law of March 23rd, 1933 gave the National Socialist Government, this government of national concentration, still at this point a coalition, the legal basis to act.